Greetings, everyone. This is Greg Swanson with the Feminine Warrior Podcast, and I have my close, good friend, co-host, Almeen Barton, on the line as well. Almeen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. I'm doing great, thanks. Welcome back from San Francisco.
Why, thank you. Yeah, we missed last week's podcast. I was kind of traveling. I went down to San Francisco to revisit some of the places that Almeen went down there to San Francisco CrossFit and did some aerial yoga, and it was got into a lot of the feminine energy. The aerial yoga, I was one of 40 people. The rest of them were all women, so I just loved it.
Well, of course, right? Kid in the candy store.
Oh my gosh.
Greg's like, my life does not suck.
Not at all. Before we get into today's topic, just wanted to remind everybody, we are taking enrollment for the Empowered Feminine Workshop being held up here in Bend in October 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. We're holding a special pricing for the first five, actually for the first four people, and it's only limited to 10 participants. We really want to make this a very intimate program. There's going to be teachings, there's going to be experiences, where there's going to be mixing of both, there's going to be spa services available, there's going to be private one-on-one coaching available. There's going to be a lot of offerings here. We really are putting this together to help you, the participants, go back and be that empowered femme, if you will, the feminine energy. So just wanted to let you know that that's available. You can find out information at our website, FemininewarriorProject.com, and our Facebook page, Facebook.com/FemininewarriorProject. So we're going to get into today's topic, and I'm going to put a disclaimer first, and then I'll let Almeen put her introduction and disclaimer on it. Almeen and I have picked some very juicy, spicy, taboo topics to talk about. And today's is no exception. And today it may, if it's interpreted wrong or interpreted in a different light, we may lose some listeners. And that is not our intention, is to piss anybody off. It's meant, all of our talks are meant for introspection, to think, to analyze yourself and your beliefs about you as a female and you as a woman moving through the world. So today's topic, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to pass it over to Almeen, but I just wanted to give my disclaimer on this and know that these our subjects, when we talk about this, really come from a heart place, come from a love place to help all the listeners analyze and move forward to become that empowered female, become that empowered woman. So with that, I'm going to pass this over to Almeen.
Oh gosh, no pressure there. So I would say yes, I am with Greg. The topic we're going to be talking about today is not from a place of judgment, okay? We're merely asking some questions, and we're asking our listeners to ask some questions of themselves. And by the way, I'm more than happy. I'm very happy to be in an open book to a certain extent. But I, too, went through this process of inquiry. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about that as we go. I used to be size 18, 205 pounds. You're more than welcome to go and see my before pictures on my personal blog at www.almeenwellness.blogspot.com. The blog post you want to search for is called A Journey Through Darkness. And it was my process of inquiry into the topic we're going to be discussing this morning. Okay? So Here's the segue into this topic that I brought up to Greg. And interestingly enough, it sounds like he as well, when he was in San Francisco, had a very similar topic conversation with a lady friend of his. My girlfriend, he brought
Jenny,
up.
Right? This is
yes, yes, we're just going to keep calling her Jenny. That is not her name, but we like to protect names and et cetera. So with that being said, Jenny brought up a really interesting topic. Now, she as well is a healthcare provider, okay? So she raised this topic to me, healthcare provider to healthcare provider. I'm also an acupuncturist, for those of you who don't know, a certified fitness trainer, et cetera. So Jenny raised that in a very popular magazine within the past few weeks, she didn't specify which one, I'm sure it won't be hard to Google this, that the Woman of the Year was chosen to be a cartoon character, which is very interesting. This magazine normally chooses human women to be Woman of the Year, but this cartoon character, who is Miss Piggy, the magazine felt symbolized embracing all body types, all body types of women. Okay, that's a very hot media topic right now. I'm seeing articles all over the place, via social media, etc., in the news, about voluptuous women owning and standing forth, saying, this is my body, this is who I am, accept it, I do, etc., etc. And they felt that Miss Piggy was a good example of kind of this new sort of emerging kind of in the forefront of media female physical archetype and honoring that, okay? Now, here's where this gets pretty controversial, a little spicy, and might get some people's heckles up. And again, Greg and I aren't actually making definitive statements here. We're more asking hard-to-ask questions, which to me are always the most important to ask, okay? They're uncomfortable, and we ask our podcast listeners to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. That's mm-hmm. how to be a fully empowered woman, okay? Mm-hmm. So here's the uncomfortable question, okay, with Miss Piggy, okay, as the archetype. Is embracing a more voluptuous female body archetype overall for society healthy? Or, as from Jenny's perspective as a healthcare provider, and she asked me what I thought, is it more kind of, I don't want to say making an excuse, but accepting a national obesity epidemic? Okay, we have an obesity crisis here. That's a statistic. That's a fact. That's not a personal ism. If you compare our obesity epidemic, against other countries, there's absolutely no question we have a problem. And Michelle Obama, it doesn't matter whether you agree with her or not, but her kind of role as a first lady has been very, very active with getting school gardens, community gardens, especially in the inner cities, et cetera, amongst the African-American community, because they actually do have an even higher obesity rate than the Caucasian community. There's a host of factors to that, I'm sure, but that's a whole other podcast. But she actually used the word an obesity crisis in our country. And I do agree with her. I think our medical bills, our insurance rates, everything speak to that. So the topic of the day is honoring the more full-figured body type. And again, there's lines, right? There's boundaries. What's full-figured? Mm-hmm. What's considered obese versus just voluptuous? We've used the term a lot, big-boned, but do we use that as an excuse for our poor lifestyle habits in this country? And, and we just keep using that as an excuse, and now we're even glorifying it? Or is this a move in a positive direction for our society? Greg, what do you think?
So it's interesting. I mean, when you use the word voluptuous from a male's perspective, at least I don't think of very overweight. I think of more just a little bit more rounded, maybe, you know, not so much muscle tone and those type of things. So to talk about the article that I read, it was about accepting your body as is, and the as is was all overweight. And And so my conversation with this female friend was, at what point, how is it that you can, and I understand accepting and loving yourself as is, but does that mean you have to stay that way? It's like, Emily and I were talking beforehand, and it just so happens we're on the same wavelength, and she started going down, you know, the discussion. I go, I know exactly where you're going with it. So, for example, you know, in law of attraction and metaphysics and quantum physics, we're taught to have gratitude. We're taught to appreciate what we have so that we can move on beyond it. So if you're living in an apartment, if you hate the apartment, you're not going to really be able to move into a home or someplace nicer. So you have the condition, you need to appreciate the condition, but it doesn't mean that you can't aspire for more. And so my question was, yes, I think that everybody should love themselves where they are and not use it as an excuse to stay there and have and support bad health habits, whether it's exercise, whether it's eating, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whatever it is. It's like, oh, this is who I am. I'm loving myself. And that, well, no. I mean, I think Abraham Hicks talks about it, that if you, when you really truly love yourself, you don't need to put those other things in you, right? Because those other things, the sugars, the bad foods, the alcohol, the smoking, is to make yourself feel better because you don't feel good. And so when you feel good, those things naturally fall away. So, yes, accept. And again, I don't know how to really phrase this, Almeen, but I understand the point of accepting, but it doesn't mean that it has to be a permanent state. And so as you look at yourself, if you think of your body as a reflection of who you think you are, your self-esteem, what is your body telling the world? And again, I am not judging, as Almeen said, this is just points of reflection. There are people, I have great friends of all nationalities, colors, races, weights, all of it, and I love them all dearly, and it's not a judgment. However, what we want to do is to give you that full empowerment, is to really understanding what message you are giving the world, and if you are in integrity with it, meaning your thoughts, your words, your actions are all in alignment, and then your body is just what it is, and that's great. However, if there are some things that are out of alignment, that might need to be looked at further. I don't know, Almeen, did that help? Did you get what I meant, or should I go down a different road here?
No, I absolutely am hearing your words, and no, they're coming through your point loud and clear. I completely agree with you, and it's been very interesting to me as a healthcare provider because, you know, I have to, you know, do CEUs, continuing education units, of course, for my profession. And what has absolutely stunned me repetitively is going to, you know, these workshops on nutrition or these workshops on herbs or acupuncture or Chinese medicine or any of these things and seeing many of my colleagues, not voluptuous, really overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been stunned by it. And I will own something that will also probably trigger some listeners. That's okay. Greg and I don't wake up in the morning going, we can't wait to just piss everybody off. That's not what we're doing. We're asking all of these questions ourselves, and we're just providing a platform for roundtable discussion, you know, if you will. But I had a colleague, and I'm totally owning my judgment piece in this. I'm owning it. I'm not judgment-free. I'm not an enlightened being. I'm still in a body. I'm still a work in progress. You know, like everybody else. But I had a fellow acupuncturist colleague 2 weeks ago ask me to like her page and her business page, and her profile picture, of course, was, you know, part of her business page and whatnot. Then she is grossly obese. I don't think it's out of line to use that term for the obvious state of health that she's in. I couldn't bring myself to like her business page.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'll tell you why, I'm sure she's a fine lady. I'm sure she's a fine practitioner. But for better or worse, okay, I come from a family background of practice what you preach. That doesn't mean you hit the mark, you know, or the bullseye 100% of the time, but gosh darn it, you give it your best effort. And when I graduated from grad school, okay, I was size, 205 pounds. Again, my pictures are on my blog, okay? I don't even recognize that girl at all. I recognized, I did some self-inquiry, looked at myself in the mirror after 4 years of grad school, completely exhausted. I'd gone through a divorce. I was tanked. I was emotionally, physically, mentally tanked. And I've always fancied myself a, quote, health food eater or a health nut. I've been that way. I've been, quote, searching, right? Nutritionally speaking, since I was a teenager, I became vegetarian because I thought that was the way to go for me. But I've always been searching. So it wasn't actually what I ate during grad school. I was still a really, really healthy eater. It was the quantity that I ate. I was an emotional eater. I was stuffing the amount of stress from a divorce, from, you know, 20 credit units per term, plus interning, just emotional eating. So it was the quantity. I also wasn't moving sufficiently enough. I did not have a good exercise program in place to help reduce my stress during grad school. And it caught up with me. And I did a serious self-inquiry. When I graduated, I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I said, I cannot talk to people about health and wellness at size 18, 205 pounds, when that is not appropriate for my frame. And what everybody said to me, even in the healthcare world, except for one naturopath who changed my life because of her radical honesty. But my other colleagues were like, oh, you're 5'10", you wear it well, you're just big boned. You're 5'10", it's okay, you're tall, you can carry it off. You can pull it off, Almeen. And I did the best I could pulling it off, i.e. I wore all black and a whole lot of baggy hippie clothes and, you know, all of that business to hide my figure. But internally, I did not at that time feel like I was qualified to be talking to people about preventative health care, complementary wellness, and good, healthy lifestyle choices, because I reflected that I wasn't living them.
Right. So Almeen, let me jump in here and play devil's advocate, if you will. And
totally.
Maybe some of the listeners are going here. They can say, great, Almeen, we appreciate that. You're in the health industry. I'm not. I'm a secretary. What does it matter? Right. So I understand your perspective, right, of wanting to portray a healthy lifestyle because that is your occupation. But then you have somebody whose occupation is not involved in the health field, and they go, I just want to accept myself as is. And so there's probably a lot of listeners around that, you know, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, I'm a coach, a health coach, a life coach, and I feel that I'm a walking billboard, and I try to stay in somewhat good shape as best I can. But the people who you know, will just – if there's guys listening here. So the other thing is, this is just not meant for the women. Those lurker guys that are listening to this, this is for you as well.
Absolutely. I mean, this is unisex, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, these articles are coming out going, accept yourself, it doesn't pinpoint accept yourself because you're in, you know, unless you're in the health industry, and then don't accept yourself and work into good shape. Right, it's these pictures, and what came to me is many of this is an internal battle, right? When we have an internal battle of who we are and accepting it, it manifests in different ways. And I think part of the acceptance is that self-love. When you can align yourself with it, then better choices will automatically be made, as opposed to using food, maybe alcohol or other things, or lack of exercise to numb that self-battle that's going on. So back to the original interruption was, you know, you're in the health industry, of, you know, almost, of course you should look that well. It's like a personal investor, a personal financial advisor shouldn't be walking around or advising you with holes in his T-shirt or her shirt and jeans, right? You'd want to see somebody who looks like they're having a luxury lifestyle if they're going to help you invest in money. So I can see from your perspective, right? However, if there's people listening that aren't in that health field and they're going, well, I just want to accept myself, then, you know, how would you address that?
It is interesting because I'm so intrinsically self-motivated. Like, to me, there is a dance of accepting, excuse me, oneself, and then never stopping improvement on the project. And the mm-hmm. project is you. Mm-hmm. So there's this really beautiful kind of, you know, as an acupuncturist, I see a lot of things more from kind of the Eastern philosophy perspective of yin-yang theory. There's this beautiful internal dance of accepting little flaws. Like the other day, I finally accepted that when the doctors did a tooth extraction, that process left a little bit more exposed canine tooth and a little less gum, so you could see my canine tooth slightly more on one side than the other. And I noticed that in the picture, and I was like, I really like that about myself. Like, I really like that imperfection. Like, I almost found it cute, like in a sweet way, you know? I was like, that's kind of cute. That's very unique to me. But being obese is really an interesting topic, and I'll tell you why I see it from a different perspective. I have actually treated, in all the years of practice that I've been doing my work, several paramedics, emergency medical personnel who have gotten severely injured. And I'm not talking like, you know, back went out for 2 months. I'm talking debilitated. Okay. Now, it's part of the job. They understand the potential risks. But I've treated several emergency medical personnel who have been debilitated by assisting obese people onto or off of stretchers, in and out of ambulances, etc. And it does affect even the people that will end up caring for you. And you are bound to need more care from those people because of that condition. But being obese actually is not, it doesn't just affect you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. It affects your family. If you're in a family, it affects everybody. It's
can't keep up with your kiddos.
Yeah.
You know, you're out of breath going up the stairs trying to chase your two-year-old that might be in danger. But then again, because of the complications of obesity, you also inadvertently, and you may not think about this when you're ingesting your third box of Twinkies, but the people that are going to be lifting you on and off of stretchers may truly be debilitated for life because they're trying to help yours. So it actually, to me, it's kind of like smoking while pregnant. You just can't see it. You know,
it's not as
smelly as nicotine
right.
smoke,
yeah.
but it's a semi-selfish act, actually, when you think about the ripple effect
right.
that it will have upon the people around you.
And
so I don't really know if that's worth celebrating. Like, I'm torn.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think perhaps maybe we put some definitions around our discussion, right? Because if you can't improve what you don't measure, right. So we're using words obese, and people have different connotations of obese. And although the CDC is part of the government, and I don't want to go into all this conspiracy theory part, but there are guidelines, which is underweight, healthy weight, overweight, and obese. And I guess my point is, if you're in the overweight and obese, how is accepting that weight benefiting you? You can still love yourself. You can still accept who you are, because you are not your body. And I think that's part of the miscommunication, is When you accept yourself, you are not your body. You are not your hand. You are not your – so when you accept you, you're accepting your inner, that unchangeable part of you that is here, always will be, forever and ever, hallelujah, amen, right? All of that part. But when you accept yourself as the weight, as the body, and you're either overweight or obese, how is that helping you live a fully empowered woman's life? Now, there's the underweight, which we could also talk about, right? The skinny minis. It doesn't mean that, you know, I think Almin would agree that we're focusing more on the overweight or obese, but the same topic goes to those skinny mini Twiggy type ones. That's not healthy either. And how is that benefiting you?
Yeah, so, and I mean, that in and of itself could be an entirely different podcast, you know, being
right.
Underweight. Like essentially, what do these two extremes tell our culture?
Right.
Do we, you know, do we honor the extremes, or do we need to look closer at what's creating the extremes, and if they're serving us as individuals, as families, as communities, as a society?
Right. So a good point. So if we look at the weight as an effect, what is the cause behind it, and then look at that cause as opposed to accepting the effect, going, yep, you know what, this is just it. It's just the effect. And when we accept the effect, then we basically don't look at the cause and we can't change it. So we're saying we're hopeless, we're helpless to change. We can't change ourselves because I think when I read these articles and see these other ones, this is the essence of it, is that accept yourself, don't change, and it's okay. And I'm looking at it from accept yourself as who you truly are as a person, that not as your body. And if the body is not serving you, whether it's underweight or overweight or obese, then you can still accept yourself and want to desire and want to work towards a more healthier body, a healthier lifestyle. And again, we said in the beginning of this topic, it's very convoluted on expressing this, but I hope we're getting some people to think about this a little bit more. Almin, any more you want to add to this? I mean, we could just go on for this for hours probably.
Right. And I mean, again, this is just more of an exploration of thought. Of looking at what's helping us, what's not. It's not really saying, you know, obese is this and this is this. And then, you know, I mean, again, because we have, like Greg said, challenges with measurement, right? What's considered healthy, what's not, you know, probably by the BMI index, just because I do enjoy lifting weights like Greg does. You know, who knows? I might be over there, quote, perfect number, right? Because muscle weighs more than adipose and that kind of a thing. And I currently feel like I'm in the best shape of my life, but I may not, quote, measure up to their numbers because of the amount I lift. And their numbers could be, you know, based off of, you know, kind of the, quote, average person, whatever that means. But maybe the average person doesn't like to lift to the extent that I do. So I acknowledge, too, that I may not fit into certain testing criteria. Which, you know, that's a whole other topic. Like, how do we test for, quote, what's healthy and what's not, and, you know, all of this business. I know that Greg recently went to our local community college and did a VO2 max test, and I think that's a great test, personally. It's very, very accurate. I think it'd be super cool if insurance companies, you know, provided, you know, centers or options for people to take that test and, you know, kind of decide their insurance rates from there.
Yeah, I did. It was a VO2 max, lactic acid, and body fat.
It's awesome. See, I just think that that's a great kind of a triple combo to start with. I think that the very, quote, rudimentary healthcare tests that we have to measure, you know, weight versus muscle mass, et cetera, I don't think they're all that great. So I totally understand, again, that it's like, how do we even measure this stuff? It's complicated.
So I'm just going to go really on a small tangent here.
I love your tangents.
This conspiracy theory, right? So if the food industry is behind the propagation of accepting yourself as the way it is, because if people don't accept themselves overweight or obese, they start eating healthier and the processed food is not consumed. Imagine the millions of dollars that the food industry is going to lose to the natural organic farmers and local farmers if people did not accept and tolerate being overweight and obese.
That's powerful. And Greg, I think, also is touching a little bit on the movie. Is it Food Inc.? You know,
yeah,
I mean, there's been lots of documentaries, you know, on the food industry, how it's connected to obesity, how it's keeping our nation, you know, in that state of dis-ease,
right,
et cetera. And I'm with Greg. I think that is a very powerful insight and question to be asking.
So what the recent movie I read or saw was Fed Up. It's on Amazon Prime. Katie Couric was a producer of it, and she's a main.
It goes through
her past 10 years of doing investigative journalism on the food industry, and it's amazing movie. It's on Amazon Prime, but it's not part of Prime, so you do have to pay for it. But it's like $3.99 for 36 hours or something. It's an amazing movie, and it's just so. I just wanted to take this shift. Is all of the information coming out to accept ourselves part of a larger movement? I don't know. I'm just, you know, that's just my thought. And again, you know, as we start to wrap this up, this was all about just self-reflection. If we struck a nerve with you, what is it that you're irritated about? Right? So if we're the mirror and you're looking into the mirror and you're upset with this podcast, what is it that you're upset about? That would be a more better use of time. Wow, that was really good English, more better.
Hey, the coffee's still kicking in here, folks. I don't know what time frame you're on, but Greg and I are still in the AM over here.
That might be a better use of time, is reflecting as what is it about this conversation that is irritating you, as opposed to going, these two people are a bunch of jerks, we're not going to listen to them anymore.
They're just food for thought. I think that Greg is making a really good point on that. And, you know, just kind of like one last really quick thought here is that, you know, if we all see somebody on the street who is obese, just to put this out there, we don't know what stage they're in.
Yep.
In other words, they could have already dropped 100 pounds that we don't even know.
Right.
When I see people who I would consider just even visually, you know, obese, you know, working out at the gym, riding their bike on the side of the road, walking to work, whatever, I applaud that. I think that is incredible. And who knows, maybe those people, you know, at the mall that you're seeing that are obese already went and worked out that day, and we just don't know about it. Maybe they've already dropped 50 pounds, and we just don't know about it. So, I mean, I'm just wanting to give that concession and put that out there, that what we see is a very small snapshot of somebody's life. If they're obese and walking on the sidewalk, they, again, maybe have already lost 100 pounds and are, you know, diligently, you know, shifting some life choices, and we don't know that. You know, we're just kind of more addressing the overall societal acceptance of quote,
a disease.
Obesity.
Right.
And saying, and again, I mean, like Greg said, what's voluptuous, what's obese, again, you know, blurred lines here, and we're totally acknowledging that. These are just thoughts for the morning, really.
Yeah. And again, this is all about just reflection and opening up. So there's different with all our conversations, there are different levels. The physical level, right, which is no pun intended, but the physical level here on overweight and obese, is it, you know, just, it's not healthy. We all know it's not healthy. So how is accepting being unhealthy helping you? And then there's the, you know, more the spiritual part. Yes, accept yourself, your inner self, your soul, who you really are. And then how do you want to manifest that in the world? So there's different levels of acceptance. And this topic, you know, we will probably come up during our workshop. And please email us, contact us. There's a contact us tab on our website. You can post your comments on Facebook. But as we start to wrap this up, take the don't shoot the messengers, don't kill the message, but just consider this a contemplative podcast and think about that, because it's not just weight, right? If we turn around and accept something that's not supportive of us, whether it's an unhealthy relationship, oh, just accept where you are, an unhealthy habit, unhealthy financial condition, right? If we start accepting these things, we have to be grateful for where they are, and we can want more at the same time. And that's the paradox, and that's where genius comes in, is when you can hold two opposing thoughts at the same time. I accept where I am, and I want more for my life. So thank you for listening. I'm going to pass this over to Almeen in a few seconds. But again, our website is femininewarriorproject.com. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/femininewarriorproject. Please visit us there. Give us your feedback. Really enjoy the feedback that we've been getting. Looking forward to some more of it. And Almeen, I'll pass it over to you for the final goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to, you know, put out there that, you know, our bodies are on loan to us. And there's a lot of people that are like, well, they're impermanent anyway, so why bother the upkeep? Well, they're not yours. they're on loan, so to speak. And, you know, Ayurvedic medicine is really clear about this. It is hard to meditate, which, you know, is not everybody's path, but it is hard to get a quiet mind when the body is in a state of dis-ease. And so it's kind of like weeding the garden, you know, we don't just let the weeds overgrow, you know, grow over the house, grow over the windows, everything. There's constant upkeep that needs to happen. And there's a very intricate connection and thread between mind and body. It is very hard to quiet the mind and to have a peaceful day with a body that's in a state of pain. And pain can be, you know, one of the side effects of obesity. And so, you know, Greg and I are just more here. We're both personal trainers. I'm a healthcare provider. You know, we're both here basically to assist you and exploring to be the best you can be. And that starts with what we can see, what's tangible, and what we can feel, and that's the body. And so if we start weeding that garden and doing upkeep on that, there is a mental repercussion and an emotional repercussion for more peaceful states of mental and emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will chat next week. Almeen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Feminine Warrior Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please tell your friends and subscribe to us on iTunes or at femininewarriorproject.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our newsletter and follow us on Facebook. Until next time, in the words of Christopher Robin, promise me you'll always remember that you're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.